Shravate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 14, Text Number 10. Tri Bhargam Nati Krip Srena. Tri Bhargam Nati Krip Srena. Vajeta griha mediapi yata desham yata kalam javadhaivo papaditam tribharham nati kripchrena vajeta griha mediapi yathā desham yathā kālam jāvādhāivo papāditam strībhārgam nāti kripchrenam bājitā griha medhyapi yathā desham yathā kālam Yabhadhaivo papaditam. Vajeta griha medhyapi yata desham yata kalam javadhaivo papaditam. Vaishnavis. Trivargam nati kripshrena. Someone else. Tri Bhargam. Three principles, namely religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification. Na nat ati kripshrena, by very severe endeavor. Vajeta, should execute. Griha medhi, a person interested only in family life. Api, although, yata desham, according to the place. Yata kalam, according to the time. Javat, as much as Devi Taiva, by the grace of the Lord. Upaparitam octane. Translation and purpose by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Even if one is a householder rather than a brahmachari, a sannyasi or a vanaprastha, one should not endeavor very hard for religiosity, economic development, or satisfaction of the senses. Even in householder life, one should be satisfied to maintain body and soul together with whatever is available with minimum endeavor. According to place and time, by the grace of the Lord, one should not engage oneself in ugra karma. Purport. In human life, there are four principles to be fulfilled: dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Religion, economic development, and sense gratification, and liberation. First, one should be religious, observing various rules and regulations. And then one must earn some money for maintenance of his family and the satisfaction of his senses. The most important ceremony for sense gratification is marriage, because sexual intercourse is one of the principal necessities of the material body. Yang maitu nadi griha medi shukam hituksham. Although sexual intercourse is not a very exalted requisite in life, both animals and men require some sense gratification because of material propensities. One should be satisfied with marriage life, and not expend energy for extra sense gratification or sex life. As for economic development, the responsibility for this should be entrusted mainly to the vaishyas and grihastas. Human society should be divided into varnas and ashrams: brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, sudra, brahmacharya, grihasta, vanaprastha, and sannyas. Economic development is necessary for grihastas. Brahmana grihastas should be satisfied with a life of adhyayana, adhyapana, jayana, and jayana. Being learned scholars, teaching others to be scholars, learning how to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, and also teaching others how to worship Lord Vishnu, or even the demigods. A brahmana should do this without remuneration, but he is allowed to accept charity from a person whom he teaches how to be a human being. As for the kshatriyas, they are supposed to be the kings of the land, and the land should be distributed to the vaishyas for agricultural activities, cow protection, and trade. Sudras must work. Sometimes they should engage in occupational duties as cloth manufacturers, weavers, blacksmiths, goldsmiths, brass smiths, and so on. Or else they should engage in hard labor to produce food grains. These are the different occupational duties by which men should earn their livelihood. And in this way, human society should be simple. At the present moment, however, everyone is engaged in technological advancement, which is described in Bhagavad Gita as ugra karma, extremely severe endeavor. This ugra karma is the cause of agitation within the human mind. Men are engaging in many sinful activities and becoming degraded by opening slaughterhouses, breweries, and cigarette factories, as well as nightclubs and other establishments for sense enjoyment. In this way, they are spoiling their life. In all of these activities, of course, householders are involved, and therefore it is advised here, with the use of the word api, that even though one is a householder, one should not engage himself in severe hardships. One's means of livelihood should be extremely simple. As for those who are not grihastas, the brahmacharis, vanaprastas, and sannyasis. They don't have to do anything but strive for advancement in spiritual life. This means that 3/4 of the entire population should stop sense gratification and simply be engaged in the advancement of Krishna consciousness. Only 1/4 of the population should be grihastha, and that should be according to the laws of restricted sense gratification. The grihasthas, vanaprastas, brahmacharis, and sannyasis should endeavor together with their total energy to become Krishna conscious. This type of civilization is called Daivi Varnashram. One of the objectives of the Krishna consciousness movement is to establish this Daiva Varnashram, but not to encourage so-called Varnashram without scientifically organized endeavor for human society. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Tri bhargam nati kripchrena bhajita griha mediapi yatadesham yatakalam yavadaivo paparitam. Even if one is a householder rather than a brahmachari, a sannyasi or a vanaprastha, one should not endeavor very hard for religiosity, economic development, or satisfaction of the senses. Even in householder life, one should be satisfied to maintain body and soul together with whatever is available with minimum endeavor. According to place and time, by the grace of the Lord, one should not engage oneself in ugra karma. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prestaya Bhutale. Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami iti namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pakshastyadi Satarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Vipare Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami iti namine Namacharya Padaya Nitai Kriva Pradayine Gaurakata Dhamodaya Nagara Gramatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Thank you to all of you for being present here in the Srimad Bhagavatam class. I would like to request the senior Prabhupada disciples and not Prabhupada disciples to please share some of their blessings upon me, that I can understand the message of the Bhagavatam in the right way and transmit the message in the right way. As we know, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that according to the gunas or the qualities, according to the actions, to our karma, so we develop some particular body, some tendencies, and according to that occupation or tendencies, we gotta serve the Lord. What is that verse? Chatur Parnyam Maya Sristam Guna Karma. So the teachings of Narada Muni in this seventh canto are very, very similar, actually, not similar, identical, to the teachings of Lord Krishna to Uddhava in the 11th canto, where Lord Krishna instructed Uddhava also about Varnashram Dharma and the occupations of the brahmachari, grihasthas, vanaprastas, sannyasis. Most of the population, they will take the path of grihastha ashram. Actually, I hear from my Guru Maharaj saying that this more safely ashram in Kali Yuga is the grihastha ashram. Well, that will be the ending or the path that most of us will take in this Kali Yuga. That's why the teachings of this particular chapter is very important, because it's for most of the population, the majority. So, to be a grihastha is a very, very delicate situation, position, because we have this freedom, so-called freedom, for licenses, for a small sense gratification. And if we don't use it properly, we can degrade ourselves into very low conditions of life. So, how to educate ourselves in the practical way in our life that it will make that transition of going from brahmachari life to grihastha life in a very safely, in a very nice way. At least from my experience, what I've seen, is that when someone takes that decision or is going in that transition, still that there is this tendency that, oh, that is Maya. There is not this education or this maturity, mind or intelligence, instead of seeing in that way, to help that person in that transition to have a very healthy and very productive spiritual life in his next ashram. It's a very important point. Because we can study so much philosophy and read so many books and quote so many shastras, but in the practical application, that is our reality. That is our reality. That's Ashita Prabhu says, we need training. Many times we need training. Like, for example, I was thinking, we have sannyas minister in ISKCON. We should have grihastha minister in ISKCON, that it will train and educate the majority of the population in ISKCON. Sannyasis are only, you can count sannyasis, sannyasis few. Grihasthas are the majority. Anyway, what are the duties of the grihastha person? You know, like, to have this human form of life means to take responsibilities. So being a father means you are responsible for your child. To be a brahmachari, you gotta know what are your duties. So to be a grihastha, what are the responsibilities of a grihastha? Prabhupada very clearly says that the grihastha should be the one, actually, I want to read it. As for economic development, the responsibility for this should be entrusted mainly to the vaishyas and the grihasthas. So that means that the grihastha should supply the material necessities for the others, ashrams. They are the ones who maintain basically the brahmacharis, maintain the temples. And I was thinking when we went for a Ratha Yatra, and how is that last Ratha Yatra Shastra in Victor Valley? So mainly, so the devotees who are running that temple and who are taking, how to say, covering all the necessities and provide everything are grihasthas. Actually, the grihasthas, they build the temple. Now, the difference, we can say they are very wealthy grihasthas. They are doctors, engineers. It doesn't apply to many of us, but at least that is one example how the mainly duty of the grihastha is to maintain themselves and to also to provide for the maintenance of the other ashrams. And Prabhupada also explained here that for ourselves, our life should be very simple. We should not complicate our life. Our life should be very simple. Like, for example, how to our energy, our time mainly should be engaged for self-realization, for realizing Krishna, for realizing God. That's why this system or Varnashram Dharma or Dhaivi Varnashram Dharma, it is very, very important. Actually, the idea of establishing Varnashram Dharma started with Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he transmitted to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Prabhupada, trying to fulfill the desires of the previous acharyas, Prabhupada wanted to establish Dhaivi Varnashram Dharma. Very, very important. It's something so important that many of us, we hear, but we are not conscious about it. Like, for example, I was thinking, we talk about book distribution. Actually, book distribution is, there is no doubt, it's the mainly activity of Krishna consciousness movement. But also Prabhupada said that his other half is Varnashram. So, like every day we emphasize book distribution, why should not spend at least few minutes during Bhavatam class and to talk about Varnashram Dharma? To create in the mind of the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to put that seed and every day nourish that seed, that plant, and create that. And like this, we want to start thinking, start using our brain to create that atmosphere. We have that for book distribution. Why don't do that for the other half that Prabhupada couldn't finish? But at the same time, that concept of Dhaivi Varnashram, it should be understood very clearly. I was searching, actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Let me see. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that there are basically three types of Varnashram. He says there is a Dhaivi Varnashram, which is the regular Varnashram, not the godly Varnashram. And then he says there is the Asura Varnashram, or the caste system of Varnashram, you know. And then there is the Taiva Varnashram, Varnashram for Vaishnavas. That is the one that we want to establish, not the Asura Varnashram. Actually, this Asura Varnashram started, Prabhupada explains, it started with the degradation of the Brahmanas, which started with this Brahmana boy, who calls Maharaj Pariksit. So that is the beginning of the degradation of the Varnashram, the caste Varnashram system. But our Varnashram system is Dhaivi Varnashram Dharma, is to have Krishna in the center. So another point very important in this text that I can see is to understand the concepts of different karmas. So what is the difference between karma, karma, akarma, bikarma, ugra karma? So ugra karma, like Prabhupada mentioned at the end of this, the translation of this verse, and Prabhupada mentioned also in many of his books, ugra karma is a very horrible karma. It's a very terrible, bad karma. This ugra karma, it will take you to a lower species of life. That's ugra karma. So B karma are actions that doesn't have to be with the Vedic injunctions. Akarma are actions, transcendental activities. And karma are activities based and the Vedic injunctions, but for your sense gratification. So the devotee, we should strive ourselves to be in the akarma platform. So our activities should be in the akarma platform. It's transcendental. So there is a very nice conversation in Prabhupada, Harisauri Prabhu, Satsarupa Maharaj. So when Prabhupada mentioned about Varnashram, and Harisauri Prabhu says, but Prabhupada, that doesn't apply to us. That applies to the people outside. And Prabhupada said, actually, see, to be a Vaishnava is not something very simple. It's not something cheap, he said. Actually, a Vaishnava doesn't need these arrangements of Varnashram. But because it's not something cheap, it's not something easy to be a Vaishnava, we need to introduce these arrangements or this Varnashram system. And sometimes we have in our mind this understanding that this is just for the people outside, because we think ourselves that we are already beyond that. And Prabhupada said also, that's why we had many fall downs in ISKCON. This conversation recorded. Prabhupada said that. There are so many fall downs in ISKCON. That's why we need that. And actually, I was thinking myself that Prabhupada started talking about Varnashram Dharma during his last years in this planet. But I found conversation, quotes of Prabhupada about Varnashram in 1970, 1971. Prabhupada was already talking about Varnashram. It's not that Prabhupada in 1969, 1970, Prabhupada was already talking about of the importance of establishing Varnashram Dharma. Because he already saw that some of his followers, they needed something very, very important. I want to spend few minutes in the glorification of the also disappearance day of one of great acharyas. Actually, his disappearance day already passed. Maybe some of you Prabhus haven't noticed. It's Narottam Das Thakur, 2 days ago. Philosophy is very important. To talk, to understand philosophy is very important because it nourishes the mind, the brain. But to go into the pastimes of Krishna and his devotees, it nourishes the heart. So it becomes the heart very soft. It helps us to develop feelings, emotions, you know, these sentiments toward God. That's why in the Vaishnava calendar, this appearance or disappearance day of these great Vaishnavas is there for a reason. Is there for a reason. For us to remember them and to go very deeply into their life. What many things we can learn from them, you know. Like, for example, from Narottam Das Thakur, we can learn so, so many things. First of all, many, many of the songs that we sing almost every day were written by Narottam Das Thakur. One of Prabhupada's favorite songs were written by Narottam Das Thakur. Narottam Das Thakur, he was a son of a king. Actually, before he born, when Lord Chaitanya was going to Vrindavan, in his first attempt of Lord Chaitanya going to Vrindavan, he was passing for a place called Khetrigram. And very close to that place, Lord Chaitanya went to take bath in the river Ganges. So Lord Chaitanya went to take bath, and then he started shouting louder, Narottam, Narottam. So nobody knew who Narottam was. So who is this Narottam? We know all the associates of the Lord, but we don't know this person. I say, Lord Chaitanya, who is Narottam? And then he says, here, in this place, one great, great personality will come, will appear, and his name will be Narottam. And in this place, in this river, I am deposited the love of my heart. And this person, at the age of 12, he will come to take bath in this river and he will get my prema bhakti from my heart. So this personality was predicted. So Narottam took birth, and at the age of 12, he got a dream. Lord Nityananda Prabhu appeared in his dream and said, Narottam, Lord Chaitanya has deposited the prema bhakti from his own heart, and that prema bhakti is waiting for you in that place. So he woke up and he went running, days, nights, running. He became like crazy. And he went to that river and he took bath. So when he took bath in that river, his body became gold. He became like, he started manifesting all the symptoms of prema bhakti. And he was wandering around like a madman, completely intoxicated with love for God. So, and then his parents were looking for Narottam. And when they saw him, actually, they couldn't recognize him. They didn't notice that that was Narottam. And then, after that, Narottam, his only life was just meditating, thinking in Lord Chaitanya, his associates, and Krishna's pastimes. So his parents, they wanted to marry Narottam. They wanted Narottam to take this Grihastha ashram. Rana Swami explains that they wanted to keep Narottam in their kingdom. That's why they wanted to marry Narottam, because that's the way how we get bound to this material world. But actually, as you know, in the pastime of Raghunadas Goswami, it happens the same. So Raghunadas Goswami, his parents wanted to marry him, but he escaped. Narottam the same, he escaped. He escaped from this, and Lord Chaitanya appeared in his dream and told Narottam, you should go to Vrindavan and you should find a very dear devotee of me, very dear associate, Lokanadas Goswami, and ask for initiation. So he woke up and he started going to Vrindavan. So when he came to Vrindavan, and he found Lokanath Goswami, he asked for initiation. Lokanath Goswami, previous to that, he made a vow of not accepting any disciple. He was very, very renounced, very simple. Actually, the reason why Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami doesn't mention Lokanath Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is because Lokanath Goswami asked Kaviraj Goswami, do not mention his name, or told her, do not mention his name in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was very, very, very secluded person, very reserved. So say, you know, but Lord Chaitanya told me in the dream that you gotta accept him as my guru. And he said, I don't care. Lokanath Goswami said, I don't care. I already made a vow. In that moment, Narottam Das Thakur, this very great, great Vaishnava, he made a plan how to conquer his Guru Maharaj's heart. And he found the place close to the river, in the bank of the river, where his Guru Maharaj was going into the forest to do his morning duties. And every day, very early in the morning, before his Guru Dev going, he was going and cleaning that place with his own hands. And he was doing that for months. Very menial service. So Lokanath Goswami, he wanted to find out who was doing this. So one day, he hid himself in the bushes And he saw very early in the morning Narottamdasaku coming and cleaning that place with his own hands. So, and then Lokanath came after and said, "What are you doing, Narottam? You are a prince. You are a great prince. What are you doing that? And with your own hands." And Narottam says, "Actually, my life is useless if I don't get your mercy. And I'm ready to commit suicide if I don't get your mercy." So by that service and by his humble attitude, Narottam conquered Lokanath Goswami's heart. And in that moment, Lokanath Goswami, he chose an auspicious day for giving initiation to Narottamdasaku. Anyway, the pastime goes on. He's a very one of our great acharyas. And talking about his disappearance day, actually the way how he disappeared from this world, because the celebration is in regard of his disappearance day. During his final days, he was feeling very, very deep separations from his close associates, especially Ramachandra Kaviraj and Srinivasacharya. Actually, Srinivasacharya entrusted Ramachandra Kaviraj to be with Narottamdas Thakur. They were doing preaching together. But in one moment, Ramachandra Kaviraj went back to see Srinivasacharya in Vrindavan. And when he went back, Srinivasacharya and Ramachandra Kaviraj, they left their bodies. So when Narottamdas Thakur got that news, in that moment is when he wrote down this famous song that we sing during the disappearing days of the great acharyas, Jaya Nilo Prema Dana. But after that, he was feeling deep separation. Actually, he decided to give up his body by his own will. He lay down on a, how to call it, in a pile of wood to decide to leave his body. One of his topmost disciples, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, was very close to the body of Narottamdas Thakur. And at the same time, there were many, many brahmanas, many caste brahmanas that Prabhupada mentioned here, that they were passing by. And because Narottam, during his preaching activities, he was initiating people from all different castas. And these brahmanas, because they were brahmanas from caste, and Narottam, actually, he was not a brahmana by birth. Some people said he was a kayasta, or he was a vaishya, he was a kshatriya, but he was not a brahmana. So, they were criticizing Narottam, saying, "You see, due to your offenses, because you were not qualified to initiate brahmanas, now you're paying reaction and you're having that death, that form of death, lay down waiting for your death." So, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, when he saw that these brahmanas were offending Narottam, and they were going to hell for this offense, so he started praying Narottamdas Thakur to please be compassionate to those brahmanas and to show mercy toward them. So in that moment, from the sky, one brahmana thread fell into the body of Narottam, and the demigods started showering flowers from the sky. So Narottam woke up. And when the brahmanas, they saw this, they became surrendered. They all surrendered to the lotus feet of Narottamdas Thakur, and they took initiation. Anyway, but the feelings of separation of Narottamdas Thakur was very intense. He couldn't tolerate. Like 2 or 3 weeks after, he called 2 of his most senior disciples, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti and Ramakrishna, to go with him into the river to massage his body. So he was taking bath, and his disciples were massaging his body. And in that moment, his body became milk, transformed into milk and melted into the river. In that moment, the demigods, they started shower also flowers, petals from the sky. Right after that, all the people from Khetrigram, the disciples of Narottam Das Thakur, they have a big celebration in honor of his disappearance. And in that festival, in that moment, Narottam Das Thakur appeared in that festival. And he was dancing with them. And then he disappeared. And then they were crying, they were lamenting, and they were having very studied kirtan. And then Narottam Das Thakur again appeared in that kirtan. And he danced with each of them. And then he consoled all of them by telling them, I will always be with you. So this is part of the pastime of one of the great, great acharyas in our line. And every day when we have some appearance or disappearance day, I go and read about that particular person. Because that's the way how we get into our Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, by knowing our lineage. You know? It's like, if I ask you, Lochan, how was your grandfather? Or your grandfather's uncle? What, tell me something about him. So, anyway, that's something mundane, you know, but in our lineage we should know who were the first Sankirtan devotees. Who in our line, who were the big scholars? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Jiva Goswami, you know. Who were the most intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya? You know. So we should get deeply. And at least that is how I train my mind. Every time in the calendar, there is one appearance or disappearance. Poop. I take my time, I go and reach. Try to get in quiet. Thank you very much for your attention. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.